Come to you today, we recognize how immensely blessed we are. And as Purvis saying, to you alone be the glory. What more can we say, Lord? We want to dedicate our lives to you, to your glory. We want to give all the glory that is due your name. You have made us as part of this vast and beautiful universe. You have crowned us with glory and honor. You've called us to rule with your truth in this world and your wisdom, and we can hardly fathom all of this. We are even made in your image. What a humbling thing to know that we are made in your image, the great God of the universe. So make us completely mindful that this is all you're doing, and you are deserving of the glory. We are so blessed because in spite of our sin, you looked with mercy upon us. You did what was necessary to save us. You extended your love towards us. And so grant us an abundant assurance, O Lord, that our sin and our guilt and Satan's influence, which so easily condemns us, is gone. We ask, O Lord, that you would forgive the wrongs that are in our lives in thought, word, and deed. We have failed to live up to the character that we are clothed with in Christ. We ask you to forgive any irresponsibility and lack of trust in you. Forgive us when our tongues have spoken without thinking and for our selfish deeds. Lord, we are so blessed because you called into being your church, which we are a part of. A church that is to be a place of love and acceptance, where the truth of the gospel is heard and lived out. You have called us to be a standard of truth in the world that is absent of truth in so many ways. So we pray your blessing upon the ministry and work of this congregation in all its various facets, from youth to adults, to the ministries within this church and outside of this church, those providing leadership roles, Lord, give strength and wisdom and prod our hearts to respond to your love and your truth, which is presented to us. Each time we open your word, each time we talk with one another as believers, bless Pastor Rick as he leads us in your word today. You give him strength and wisdom and insight, and give us open hearts to receive his challenges to us and the comforts that come through your word. Lord, we pray that you would help us as a congregation as we think about our future and the renewal process, trying to understand what it is to be a healthy church, a growing church, personally growing as a congregation. And help us in due time, Lord, as we seek a new pastor and go through a search process, understanding who we might need as a pastor and leader among us. Oh Lord, we pray for those who among us have suffered sickness or surgery, injury. Lord, we pray for those who have been cast into sorrow in the recent past and who continue to live with grief in their lives. Bless Marlene Albers and loss of her mother. We also remember those who have been encountering sickness recently, Linda May and LaVonna Paul Hammonds and Sonia Zambrano. We also remember now Gary O'Leary with his diagnosis of salivary gland cancer. Lord, to all of these, Lord, give hope, give a trust in you that you will carry them through this time and give them day-to-day strength. Lord, we thank you for your constant presence among us, the ways that you work among us that we can't even always see or give testimony to, but we know you are here when you know you are at work. So give us that faith and trust each day, individually and as a church. Lord, we pray that you will guide each one in their walk of faith, whether it's a young child or a teenager, young adult, single or married, middle-aged, elderly, widower or widowed. Lord, we pray for understanding of these times in their lives and a heart of faith. Lord, we pray for the elderly among us that aren't able to get out and about and be among us. Catherine Calamine, Jacob York, continue to bless and guide them. We want to give you thanks for the babies that are born to families in our church, the Vandegreens, Bogards, and Holtrips, Lord. Help them all to be well and let these children grow, and not only physically, but in faith and maturity, and bless the parents as they lead and nurture them. We're thankful that the Honduras group made it home safely and for the experiences that they had. Lord, we ask that your power and your truth would reign in our world, that the gospel would make inroads into people's lives, change lives, and use us as your servants to that end as well. Bless all missionaries with fruitfulness in their labor and faithfulness. And Lord, through it all, through all these things and all the happenings in the world, may you be given all the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you, Kevin, for your prayer. That was a powerful prayer. And thank you, Purvis, for the song earlier. That was powerful. And thank you, each one of you, for giving to New Life Prison Community. You can see that your money is not in vain, that your prayers are not in vain, and that people are being changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And some of the things that Purvis said in his testimony are going to ring true in the sermon, especially the part about God loves you. God loves you despite the circumstances on the ground, despite the situation, whatever you're going through, the issue that you're dealing with, God loves you. So remember that, people of God. And I always remind the prisoners about that too, that looking around, looking down, the circumstances are tough and it doesn't make us happy, but we can still be filled with the joy of Jesus Christ, because our joy is not dependent upon circumstances. It rests entirely on mighty God, and God loves you. Now, the scripture this morning is from Lamentations chapter 3. And in order to find Lamentations in your Bibles, go to Jeremiah, and it's right after Jeremiah. It's a very small book. It's only 5 chapters long. Lamentations 3, right in the middle of the short book, Lamentations. And oftentimes when I go to congregations, when I talk to the guys at the prison, I encourage men and women to read their Bibles. And Purvis reminded us of when we first came to faith. And I grew up in the church, but when I was in 8th grade, I came to a closer relationship with the God that I knew ever since I was a kid. And I became excited about becoming a Christian myself. And so I paid careful attention to the words of Scripture. And I remember soaking up the Bible like a sponge. And every night I would read a chapter or two and meditate on the Scripture, even though I was in 8th grade. So we need to recapture that joy that we first had at first and get into the Word. I encourage you to read the entire book of Lamentations. You might be intimidated by that, but it's only 5 chapters. And if you read a chapter each day starting tomorrow, you'd be done with it by Friday. So read your Bibles and learn from God's Word. With God's Word open in front of us, let's pray for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, open our eyes to see your Word. Open our ears to hear your voice. Open our hearts that we may be transformed into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. And open up our lives so that we may walk and work and live and play for you each and every day. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Lamentations 3, beginning at verse 21. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not condemned, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait patiently for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is still young, Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it upon him. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him offer his cheek to one who would strike him, and let him be filled with disgrace. For men are not cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love, for he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men. To crush underfoot all prisoners in the land, to deny a man his rights before the Most High, to deprive a man of justice, would not the Lord see such things? Who can speak and have it happen if the Lord has not decreed it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that both calamities and good things come? Why should any living man complain when punished for his sins? People of God, this is the word of the Lord. And we thank God for his word. It seems like I've been spending a whole lot of energy trying to stay warm because it's been a very cold winter, hasn't it? On Wednesday morning, I woke up and the temperature read minus 11 degrees Fahrenheit. That's a cold way to start your day. And some of the guards up at the Newton Prison drove through the river valley by the Skunk River on the way to the Newton Prison. And they said at that river bottom, the temperature was minus 22. That's a cold way to start your day. Minus 11, minus 22. I don't care if it's zero or single digits, but it's been a very cold winter. And I've spent a lot of energy trying to keep myself warm. I got a thick winter coat. And I've got some gloves that I carry around with me everywhere. And I even have a blue knit hat to keep my bald head from getting cold. I'm spending a lot of energy, and I'm sure you are too, trying to stay warm this winter. In fact, I can't wait for later this week when it's supposed to warm up on Tuesday and Wednesday, and maybe we'll see 45 or 50 degrees here in Des Moines. It's a regular heat wave for central Iowa. Can't wait till it warms up. I can't wait for spring. But in the meantime, I'm doing everything I can to stay warm. And one thing I do is on very cold nights, I gather up some wood and take it to my fireplace and start a fire. And I haven't always had this luxury. The house that I've owned now, I've had it for 2 years, and it's the first property that I've owned that has a fireplace. And I'm grateful to God that I have this fireplace. And sometimes I pile up some wood on a cold night, and I get that fire started, and I sit there watching the fire burn. And I watch the wood being consumed. I watch the logs being burned, and I watch the logs, and then they turn to these orange coals at the bottom of the fire, and those are real hot, and eventually it turns to ash. And sometimes, I'm not sure why, God gives me this verse. A lot of times, as I sit watching the fire, I think of verse 22 of our reading today. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. We're not consumed like those logs. Those logs eventually burn up and turn to ash, but we're not consumed by the fires of life. We might get burned here and there. We might get warmed up by the heat of our struggles, but we're not consumed because the mercies of God never fail. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Great is his faithfulness to us, his people. Great is his love. The Lord is great with love. The Lord is great with compassion, but sometimes the situations in life that we experience us make us think that the Lord doesn't love us anymore. And when this scripture was written, it was written at a very difficult point in the history of Israel, in which the people of God questioned, does the Lord really love us because of the devastation of the holy city of Jerusalem? You see, this scripture was written at a turning point in the nation of Israel. 587 BC, the armies from Babylon swept down into Israel, destroyed the city of Jerusalem, No brick was left unturned, and they even destroyed the holy temple. Solomon's temple was leveled to the ground. This evil army from the north was merciless, and the people began to question whether God really loved them. And in one ancient Greek translation of the scripture, called the Septuagint, here is how the book of Lamentations begins. Verse 1 of chapter 1 in the Greek Old Testament says, "And it came to pass, after Israel was taken captive and Jerusalem made desolate, that Jeremiah sat weeping. And he lamented with this lamentation over Jerusalem and said." Jeremiah, the reputed author of the book of Lamentations, sat in an ash heap, weeping. Weeping over the holy city. Weeping over the desolation that he witnessed. Because the soldiers were slaughtered, there were corpses in the street, the children were hungry, and the widows had no husband on which to depend. And the youngest men, kind of like Daniel, you remember that story of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Those were Israelite youths who were hauled off into captivity into Babylon. The brightest and the best of the young men were hauled off into captivity, away from the homeland. And Jerusalem was left abandoned. Jerusalem was left desolate. And the people really questioned, does God still love us? Does God still care about us? Look what's happened to the holy city. It's a big pile of rubble. All the people are gone. All the men are slaughtered. And what do we have left to hold on to? And so the book of Lamentations is written in the historical crisis of the Babylonian devastation of 587 B.C. Jeremiah writes in verse 25, he writes about God being good. And in three straight verses, he mentions the word good. Verse 25, "The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him." But what hope is left? The city is devastated. What good is that? Verse 26, "It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. But I want it now. Why should I wait any longer? The city is destroyed. What's good about what's happened to Jerusalem? Verse 27, "It's good for a man to bear the yoke while he's young. But I'm getting older, waiting for the Lord, waiting for the Lord's restoration. What's good about the temple being destroyed? What's good about the people being slaughtered? What's good about the devastation in Jerusalem, God's holy city?" And the question remains, in the midst of the devastation, does God still love us? And I wonder sometimes if the prisoners up at Newton think the same thing. Does God still love us? And lately, I've been coming face to face with a youthful prisoner. Many of the prisoners that I work with are my age. Some are in their 30s. Some are in their 40s. I'm 47. Some are older than me. Some are younger than me. But lately, I've really taken notice to the youthful prisoner. And one of these verses reminds me of the young man who's in prison. It says, "It's good for a man to bear the yoke while he is still young." And these young men are bearing the yoke. But to be honest with you, they're not bearing it up very well. They're getting crushed by this yoke. They're getting burdened by the yoke of imprisonment. And it's a tough row for them to hoe. Let me tell you about three of the young guys that I work with. The first young guy that came to mind was Brandon. He's 18 years old. And I think I recognized Brandon because he was showing up in my prayer group. And he's the exact same age as my son, John, who's a senior in high school. And I thought to myself, this is not the way it's supposed to be. A young man who's only 18 years old, the same age as my son, who's preparing to go to college next year, and here this guy is in prison. It's not the way it's supposed to be. And there's another young man named Ronald, and he's only 21. And I thought to myself as I was working with him the other day, as I was doing pastoral care with him the other day, as I was praying with this young man, I'm old enough to be his father. it just struck me with Ronald, only 21, and he's not bearing up the yoke of his imprisonment very well. He's being crushed by it, and he's being burdened by sadness. Separated from his family on the outside, he's got two little girls, and he really misses those young girls. It's tough for Ronald to be in prison. But the guy that I've been talking with the most is a young man named Kyle, and he's only 19 years old. Again, I'm old enough to be his father. And it just strikes me to see these young men bearing the yoke of imprisonment in their youthful days. I think to myself, that's not the way it's supposed to be. And I know they did things. And I know they're suffering for their sins, for their going against the laws of the land. But I wish that they were free, and I wish they had success in their life, and I wish they were out among us in the community living and thriving, because prison is not the way it's supposed to be. In the new heavens and the new earth, there won't be any prisons anymore. Amen. But this young man named Kyle, he had a lamentation of his own. I told you earlier how Jeremiah sat down and he was weeping over Jerusalem. Well, Kyle has been weeping over his own situation, and he wrote his own lament. It was a rap song, actually. And the other day, he shared with me this rap song written on three yellow legal pad pages. Somehow, he had acquired some paper while he was incarcerated, and he wrote down this heavy rap song that dealt with his situation. And one thing I focused on was the chorus of the rap song. The chorus of the rap song focused on four very negative things: darkness, death, hell, and failure. And I said to him, Kyle, God wants just the opposite of these four things for you. I said to him, Kyle, instead of hell, God wants to give you heaven. Instead of failure, God wants to give you success. Instead of darkness, God wants to give you life. All these things come together under God. Darkness goes to light. Failure goes to success. Hell goes to heaven. And I said, God wants just the opposite for you, for these things you mentioned in your rap song. And I said to him, God loves you, Kyle. God loves you. But he just stared blankly at me with his face of disbelief. Because you see, Kyle is just beginning to get to know God. He spent years involved with pagan and Wiccan religions. He spent years dealing with the darkness. And he's just beginning to experiment in Christianity. Just beginning. He's drawn to it like a bug in the nighttime to a light. You know how the bugs gather at the lights and just hover around the light? He's drawn to me. He's drawn to the Bible. He's drawn to prayers. He's coming to the groups. He's got his curiosity up. But he's just barely beginning to recognize that God loves him. Despite his situation, despite his incarceration, despite the difficulties in his family life, growing up in juvenile detention centers, being removed forcibly from his family by the DHS. Despite his past, he's beginning to recognize that God, maybe, still loves him. And that just maybe God is good. That just maybe there is hope for his future. There's grace in this text. There's good stuff in this text. If you read, if you take that challenge that I gave you and you read the whole book of Lamentations, all five chapters, you'll see that it's a very heavy book. Lament is a cry out to God, a cry of the suffering person. And so there's a lot of what feels like darkness and negativity in this book. But chapter 3 is the monumental center of this book. Chapter 3 is the hope-filled center of this book of the Bible. And chapter 3 gives us a reason to believe that God still loves us. It's a little sliver of hope in the middle of despair. And we can get caught up in circumstances like Jeremiah sitting there mourning, fasting, praying over Jerusalem, struggling over the devastation of the holy city. But in order for us to have encouragement, it really doesn't help us to look down or around. We need to begin to look up in order to acquire our hope, because our hope is firmly anchored in the characteristics of God. And the specific characteristic of God that I want to focus on today is God's love. And in this chapter, it mentions hesed. And that's a heavy-duty Hebrew word for love in the Hebrew Bible, hesed. In fact, when translators come to the word hesed, they don't know what to do bringing it forward into the English, because it's such a thick word that it needs two words in order to translate it, like unfailing love, or loving kindness, or steadfast love. Love that never ceases, love beyond measure, great love and abounding love. One word just won't do for this powerful Hebrew word, hesed. And the word hesed only appears twice in the whole book of Lamentations. Let's look at those two occurrences in verses 22 and 32. Verse 22, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. Because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed. Even though the city of Jerusalem was down, there would be hope and restoration for the future. There would be a day when God's people would return to the holy city and rebuild the walls, rebuild the temple, and life would return to God's holy city. God's compassion never fails. Verse 32, it shows up again. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love. Compassion. Compassion. That's a word that means to suffer with. It's really important to know that God suffers with his people. Whatever the city is going through, whatever we're going through, it helps to know that God is a God who also suffers. He comes to us in the person of Jesus Christ. When I look outside and I see that snow, I'm reminded of Narnia. You remember Narnia from C.S. Lewis, where it was always winter but never Christmas? Well, I'm here to testify that winter won't last forever, that spring will eventually come to central Iowa. And as far as the never Christmas part, we know that it's Christmas today because of what Jesus did. Jesus came to be born into the messiness and the muddiness and the suffering of human reality in Bethlehem. Jesus came, he was born in a manger, he lived and suffered among us, he suffered unto death on the cross. And whatever we're going through, it helps to know that Jesus suffered too. He loves us so much. And love is the focus of the holiday that we just went through on Friday. And many of us maybe celebrated Valentine's Day. Maybe we gathered up our sweetheart and took our sweetheart to a sweetheart dinner, or got our sweetheart a card or a box of chocolates or some flowers or maybe some other present. But somehow we celebrated love on Valentine's Day. And romantic love between a couple like Purvis and Diana, or myself and my wife, or any of you that share romantic love with a spouse or boyfriend or girlfriend, that's great. But if we really want to know about God, if we really want to know about love, we need to find out what the love really is, where love originates. The Lord is great in love. And the Lord loves the prisoner. It says so in his word. And here in this passage, it mentions the prisoner in verse 34. To crush underfoot all prisoners in the land, to deny a man his rights before the Most High, to deprive a person of justice, would not the Lord see such things? In other words, it's not God's will to crush the prisoner. It's not God's will to destroy the prisoner. God loves the prisoner. And sometimes when a person is incarcerated for a brief period of time, that's a good thing because it gives them an opportunity to examine their lives. And I tell the guys at the Newton Prison, Hebrews 12, verse 6, the Lord disciplines those he loves. He's not doing this to crush you. He's doing this to instruct you so that you can learn from your mistakes and find out that there is simply a better way to live. God wants something better for you, just like what Purvis shared with, for you, that he's not just rehabilitating his life, God is restoring him to a greater thing, to a better way of life. That's how much God loves Purvis and that God loves all the guys at the Newton Prison right now. And there's renewal even for a person like Kyle. And the other day, Kyle, the 19-year-old, came up to me and he said, well, what is your impression of me? What do you think of me? Am I dark? Do you think of darkness when you think of me? And I said, no, I think you're obviously curious about the things of God and your mind. I think your mind is operating and turning these things over. I think you're a deep thinker. And I find you very interesting. I think you're creative in that you made this rap song. And I find you interesting to talk with. And so he emphasized some of the negative things in his past. But I said to Kyle, you have a bright future. God loves you. And God will restore you in due time. And there's something that's very attractive about Christianity for Kyle. I think he feels the love in our fellowship groups. And I hope he keeps coming to attend worship service, prayer group, and Bible study. So far, I've seen a lot of him, and I hope to see more of him in the future. And you know, I don't know what you're dealing with today. I don't know what life looks like for you today, what circumstances, issues, or challenges that you're facing. Perhaps it could be a financial challenge. Maybe the bills are piling up higher than the paycheck that's coming in. Maybe it's a health crisis. Maybe recently you or a loved one went to the doctor and received a diagnosis of a named, of a named disease, a disease like Crohn's or cancer or diabetes or something like that that just weighed heavy on you. Or maybe it's something in your family where you're going through relationship struggles or your parents are arguing with one another and you're worried that this relationship is not going to last. And what I want to tell you today, whether you're going through family issues or financial issues or health issues, that God is with you, that God loves you, and that despite the situation on the ground, despite the struggles, the devastation that you see in your city, God loves you because his love is not based on circumstances, but it's based on his character. And it says in 1 John that God is love. He can't help but love you. Despite what you've done, despite the circumstances in your life, it says in Romans chapter 5, for God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's how much God loves you. He's willing to go to that extent, to suffer and die and rise again so that you might receive salvation and encouragement in your most difficult times. People of God know through the testimony of the Holy Spirit who lives within us and among us, that God's love for us is real. God loves you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people say, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to gather around your holy word. We don't often go to the book of Lamentations. Perhaps it's one of those neglected scriptures. We more often go to the Psalms or the book of John or one of the letters of Paul, but here it is in our Bible, and Lord, we read it today, and we found hope, encouragement, and mostly love in this passage of Scripture. And that despite whatever circumstances we're going through, let us know with conviction, by faith, that you still love us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. At this time, please rise for the benediction. People of God, it was my pleasure to be here with you today and lead you in worship. Thank you for having me, and thank you for your support and prayers.